For a long while, the life of the outlaws went well to their liking. Food was not scarce, and they had good shelter, warm and dry, with room enough and to spare. For they found that the caves could have housed 100 or more at need. There was another, smaller hall further in. It had a hearth at one side, above which a smoke shaft ran up through the rock to a vent cunningly hidden in a crevice on the hillside. There were also many other chambers, opening out of the halls or the passage between them, some for dwelling, some for works, or for stores. In storage, Mim had more arts than they, and he had many vessels and chests of stone and wood that looked to be of great age. But most of the chambers were now empty. In the armories hung axes and other gear, rusted and dusty. Shelves and aumbries were bare, and the smithies were idle. Save one, a small room that led out of the inner hall and had a hearth which shared the smoke vent of the hearth in the hall. There Mim would work at times, but would not allow others to be with him, and he did not tell of a secret hidden stair that led from his house to the flat summit of Amanruth. This Androg came upon when, seeking in hunger to find Mim's stores of food, he became lost in the caves, but he kept this discovery to himself. During the rest of that year they went on no more raids, and if they stirred abroad for hunting or gathering of food, they went for the most part in small parties. But for a long while they found it hard to retrace their road. And beside Turin, not more than 6 of his men became ever sure of the way. Nonetheless, seeing that those skilled in such things could come to their lair without Mim's help, they set a watch by day and night near to the cleft in the north wall. From the south they expected no enemies, nor was there fear of any climbing Amanruth from that quarter. But by day there was at most times a watchman set on the top of the crown who could look far all about. Steep as were the sides of the crown, the summit could be reached, for to the east of the cave mouth rough steps had been hewn, leading up to slopes where men could clamber unaided. So the year wore on without hurt or alarm, but as the days drew in, and the pool became grey and cold, and the birches bare, and great rains returned, they had to pass more time in shelter. Then they soon grew weary of the dark under hill, or the dim half-light of the halls, and to most it seemed that life would be better if it were not shared with Mim. Too often he would appear out of some shadowy corner or doorway when they thought him elsewhere, and when Mim was near, unease fell on their talk. They took to speaking ever to one another in whispers. Yet, and strange it seemed to them, with Turin it went otherwise, and he became ever more friendly with the old dwarf, and listened more and more to his counsels. In the winter that followed, he would sit for long hours with Mim, listening to his lore and the tales of his life. Nor did Turin rebuke him if he spoke ill of the Eldar. Mim seemed well pleased, and showed much favour to Turin in return. Him only would he admit to his smithy at times, and there they would talk softly together. But when autumn was past, the winter pressed them hard. Before Yule, snow came down from the north, heavier than they had known it in the river vales. At that time, and ever the more, as the power of Angband grew, the winters worsened in Beleriand. Amanruth was covered deep, and only the hardiest dared stir abroad. Some fell sick, and all were pinched with hunger.